Do you love bacon? I mean, really love bacon. If you're a bacon lover, today is your day. Whether for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, bacon is now free for a year at Good Ranchers. Subscribe to get 24 ounces of Applewood smoked bacon added to each box for a year. That's over $200 worth of bacon free. This is 100% American high-quality bacon sourced from local farms with no added hormones or antibiotics. To subscribe, find your perfect box in the Good Ranchers curated selection of pasture-raised meat and wild-caught seafood. Select a frequency that works best for you, and then enjoy less trips to the meat aisle and more flavor at dinner. As long as you stay subscribed, your price will never go up. That's the Good Ranchers price lock guarantee. Elevate your meals without elevating your expenses. Subscribe today at GoodRanchers.com for free bacon in every box for a year. Use code DANA to get an additional $20 off your first order. Get the best meat America has to offer. Visit GoodRanchers.com. That's GoodRanchers.com, code DANA. Good Ranchers, American meat delivered.
Support to the banking system with the new lending facility. This will help financial institutions meet the needs of all of their depositors. I can reassure the members of the committee that our banking system is sound and that Americans can feel confident that their deposits will be there when they need them. This week's actions demonstrate our resolute commitment to ensure that our financial system remains strong and that depositors' savings remain safe.
Oh, well, I feel so much better now. I feel so much better. I don't know about you guys, but I feel great. I mean, I was sitting, first off, welcome back, everyone. I missed you guys. I tried to stay away, but like a stalker, I couldn't. Dana Lash here with you. You're remotely rested, curmudgeon, to kick off this what the hell happened last week Monday. So I'm sitting on the beach. You know, I've got SPF 11D on, sitting there. I mean, and I'm like a nerd. Like, I'm the nerd that has all the stuff on. I got the hat. It's ridiculous. But I love the water. Love the sun. Sitting out there, and I had just enough of a connection to watch Days of Our United States. It's one of my favorite new shows, Kane. I don't know if you've watched it at all. It's pretty amazing. Like, the characters right now are dealing with crazy amounts of wokery to the point where they're essentially committing, like, they're burning themselves in effigy is what they're doing. And that damn Stefano, you're right. Yeah. The woke Stefano.
It's always Stefano.
He's in everything. He's been the bad guy for 30 years. 40, maybe. I don't know. So anyway, sitting on the beach, and I'm reading about Days of Our United States. My favorite reality series, somewhat scripted. And I'm seeing everything go to hell. So it starts, it was kind of happening that way before I left. And then it erupted with this Silicon Valley Bank. And I was reading about this chick she's like some kind of dietitian or wellness. I don't know. Everybody is a niche, right? Everybody has a niche cottage industry. So some chick had an account in this bank. She had $10 million in this account, right? $10 million. And it was insured up to $250,000. That's what they ended up coming back and saying. So a lot of stuff has happened since that time. So that was one of the things I was watching, right? Right? So I was watching that. I was watching the character's financial drama. Then for the Top Gun portion of Days of Our United States, we had a little predator. I say little. It's not. In the pictures, it looks wee. But in reality, it's actually quite large. Did you know that, by the way, Cyborg, Kane, do you know this thing's $40-something million? Yeah, the drone. So there was a drone.
Oh, man.
Yeah. That ended up kind of getting bumped, shall we say, by a geopolitical foe's fighter jet. I know. I mean, so many things are happening. There's so many things that are going on right now. And I was reading about how, is this an act of war? Is it an act of war? I don't know. Is it an act of war? Not so sure. Act of war? Not quite. Who knows? This, and there's video of it. It was a Russian jet that intercepted a U.S. drone. It dumped fuel on it, and then it collided with it, damaged the propeller. So a lot of stuff was going down, right? A lot of stuff, a lot of weird stuff was happening. So I'm looking at this and people are going, is it? Because if this were, and I read this, you guys know, should I say, I have a rule about if. I don't engage in hypotheticals. And I have a saying that I have used for almost 20 years. Almost 20 years about this.
It was true then, it's true today.
I mean, I sound like I'm 90 years old. I was saying this before I was ever on radio, but I'd never, ever argue hypotheticals. I always say, can I just say it? It's Monday. You guys need it, don't you? I always say, if my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle. Good. Right? Now, weird thing is, as I started saying this before that actually happened, not that my aunt, I don't have an aunt that did that, but you know what I mean. So I was reading all of these hypothetical if columns, like, oh my gosh, if this wasn't an unmanned drone, if this was a jet that had a pilot in it, if that pilot would have been taken hostage, this would have been an act of war. Yeah, we didn't have a pilot in there, though. It's a very expensive drone, right? I mean, it's ridiculously expensive. It took a lot of our allowances. You know, we did a lot of chores to pay for this drone. So this was the other thing in the days of our United States. I'm out there another day and I see that we get the drone clipped. Everyone's freaking out. Oh, my gosh. Is it an act of war? I'm like, hell, I may be sitting on a beach. We might be going to World War III. What in the world? Now, thankfully, I guess somebody in D.C. allowed for cooler heads, right, to prevail, maybe somewhat. Or it could just be Joe Biden's complete acquiescence to Russia, which we're going to get into. And then, now this all started kicking off as I was coming back. There was this rumor going around towards the end of my days. This was probably about the point that I told myself I need to stop having mojitos at 3 o'clock because I'm going to have to go back to work next week. And there's a lot of sugar in that. I just totally disregarded my ban on sugar personally last week. And when you're in the Caribbean, you got to have mojitos. It's law. So I'm having my last mojito, and then I read about this rumored indictment. It's coming up about Trump. So let me just tell you guys something, and this is all part of Days of Our United States. In America, we have a lot of freedom in America, right? We have a lot of freedom in America. We have the freedom to start a business. I mean, granted, there's a lot of restrictions and regulations which call into question the true scope of said freedom. But, you know, for the intents and purposes of telling the story, we are free. We've got a lot of freedom in the United States, right? Free to get whatever car you want. If I want to get a car with way more horsepower than I can actually mentally or physically handle, I can do that in the United States. Now, my insurance may make me pay more for it, but I can do that. I'm free to do that in the United States, right? If I want to grow a garden, I can grow a garden. If Kane wants to tattoo tribal, like, vines all over his face, he can do that. He's free to do that in the United States, right? He can burn wood chips, right? He does. I have to sidebar. I mean, the stuff that was so small, so good. Like, my office smells amazing right now. All right, back to the show. So you're free to do all of these things in the United States. You are also free, if you so choose, to pay off your side piece, to shut her up. That's not illegal. Or, sorry, alleged side piece. You are free. Sidebar again. Band name, alleged side piece. Thank you. You're free to pay off your alleged side piece in these Les États-Unis, the United States. You can do that. It's not illegal. Which gets me to the nature of Alvin Bragg's, whatever you want to call this. I've seen some stupid things in my time. Okay? Like, I have seen the trend right now, if you're unfamiliar with it. The trend right now, which is where apparently, like, girls will wear really high-waisted shorts, but like half their cheeks hang out. Like the material's long on the wrong end. You know what I mean? I don't understand pleated front high-waisted jeans that people are trying to bring back. That's really stupid. No, Green Day is stupid. I'm just, you know, I'm trying to, there's a lot of stuff. One of the dumbest things that I've ever seen is the nature of these allegations. These are not... This is not... I mean, this is a joke. It's an absolute joke. So basically, let me break it down in layman's terms. I wrote a quick piece about this because I couldn't shut up about it anymore. And I was supposed to still be breaking and I couldn't break anymore. The nature of these charges stem from Trump's alleged affair with Stormy Daniels. And I say alleged because I don't care right now. I really don't. And Alvin Bragg is trying to say, now remember, the payoff, apparently Michael Cohen was the guy who apparently paid Stormy Daniels to shut up because they were anticipating a presidential run. Trump was not running yet. So however you look at it, he wasn't running yet. So Alvin Bragg is arguing that the reason the payoff is illegal, because it's actually not illegal, but he's saying that, oh, well, there kind of is a reason why it's illegal. The reason being is that, and here's the kicker, it benefited his campaign to have her be quiet. It benefited, when he decided to run, it benefited his campaign. That's like saying, well, he was born, so his mother should be investigated for an in-kind contribution because she gave birth to him, which clearly benefited his campaign. I mean, the act of giving birth to him isn't illegal, but it benefiting his campaign is. That is how stupid this is. My analogy might seem absurd, but it's needed to highlight the absurdity of Alvin Bragg's argument here. This is why this is so stupid. I mean, there are a million things. If Democrats were smart, they would make smart moves. There are things over which you can criticize Trump on, for sure. No politician particularly perfect. There's things you can criticize him on. But saying, well, you paid off your alleged side piece before you ran for office. And, you know, her shutting up really was a disproportionate benefit to your campaign. So that's illegal. Then everything can be illegal. Anything that you do can be considered illegal and misconstrued purposefully as an in-kind contribution to your campaign. That's why this is so dumb. It is one of the dumbest arguments. It's killing my brain cells, and I don't even have a mojito to do that with, right? Without the benefit of the muddled mint and all of the good stuff, it's killing my brain cells without all of that. Why? Now, Alvin Bragg, originally, he did not want to do this. Do you all remember, this is back when Letitia James and Joseph, Alvin Bragg did not want to do this because Alvin Bragg has hopes and dreams. He has hopes and dreams and he realizes how stupid something like this would be. But unfortunately, I don't think their arguments improved. The overwhelming pressure from the left convinced him otherwise, and so that's why he's doing this. Now, coming up, I'm going to tell you, now, yes, these charges are grossly political, number one, but this isn't the time to run out half-cocked, which is going to bring me to my second point that we will address here coming up after headlines. Thanks to your support, Patriot Mobile has emerged as one of the leaders in the parallel economy, and they have big news. Patriot Mobile now offers service with all three major networks. This means if you're with the big three and like the service but hate their values, you can access them with Patriot Mobile. They also offer a performance guarantee. So if you're not happy with your coverage, you can switch between the three major carriers for free. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offers nationwide coverage on the best 4G and 5G networks. So you get the same great service while supporting a company that fights to preserve our God-given rights and freedoms. Resolve now to stop supporting companies that don't align with your values. The Patriot Mobile 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today with the offer code Dana. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So UBS buys Credit Suisse for $3.2 billion as regulators look to shore up the global banking system. They agreed to buy the embattled rival. They said that the terms of the deal will see the Credit Suisse shareholders receive about one UBS share for every 22.48 shares that they hold in Credit Suisse. They said the Swiss National Bank also pledged a loan of up to 100 billion Swiss francs, $108 billion, to support the takeover. They're trying to stop a total meltdown. We're going to get into some of the reasons for that, too, by the way, with all of that, because everyone says wokery and regulations, and that does actually play into it. I'm sorry. I know this was last week, but I was on a beach watching Days of Our United States. I cannot believe Rick Allen, Def Leppard drummer, only has one arm. And this is literally a song lyric. 59 years old. He was attacked by a 19-year-old spring breaker in Florida. He was performing a show with Def Leppard, and he was attacked by 19-year-old Max Edward Hartley, who I want to beat up now, because Rick Allen should be protected at all costs. He's amazing. Golly, he's like the drummer of my childhood. He told police that he wants the teenager to be prosecuted for the incident because the teenager apparently also dragged a woman by her hair. Drag this kid. Drag him. He's doing okay. He's like, he told everyone, thank you for your support. Your love and prayers are helping. He says his wife, thankfully, wasn't with him at the time of the incident. Yeah, because she would have probably been targeted as well. So he said he's healing, etc. And police have charged this 19-year-old. He was bailed out. And Allen did not refer to the attacker. In fact, the woman who got knocked to the ground and had her hair pulled is a woman who intervened and was trying to help Allen against this 19-year-old. She has not been identified. So he was, and he was just in Florida. He stepped outside for a cigarette, and that's when he was attacked. Just wild, wild, wild. So they said this like 10 years ago, and they, everybody has to change the timeline now because this hasn't happened. They said Earth is going to hit this very critical point, a critical warming threshold by early 2030s. And I remember when it was 2020s. I totally remember this. They just keep moving the goalposts. It is a new United Nations report, you know, an agency that's totally at all not corrupt whatsoever. They're wholesome and completely trustworthy. They say it's still possible to hold global warming to relatively safe levels, but doing so requires taking all of your money, putting it in a trebuchet, and launching it at the sun. That's what it means. That's what you're going to have to do. We have a lot more on the way. Coming up, the Trump indictment. What's going to happen tomorrow? What can you expect? What should you think? What should we do? We're going to talk about that and everything else. Stick with us. Folks, are you concerned about American K through 12 education? Are you worried about what your children or grandchildren are learning or not learning in school? So if you've answered yes, my friends at Hillsdale College have a free resource for you. You've heard me talk about how Hillsdale College understands the importance of education to the future of our country. And now they're offering you 10 free print copies of their recent issue of Imprimis, entitled Education as a Battleground, written by Hillsdale College President Larry P. Arne. This special issue provides a factual account of the issues in the ongoing battle over education and why parents and teachers, not bureaucrats or activists, should guide what our children learn. With Hillsdale College, you can make a difference in your community by distributing these copies of Imprimis to your community. Don't miss this opportunity to arm yourself with the facts. Claim your 10 free copies of Education as a Battleground by visiting Dana4Hillsdale.com. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com. Act today and join the battle over education for our country's future. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com.
And it begins. One of the largest banks in the country completely collapsing. Do you know exactly where your money's located? Is it being mismanaged by another woke tech startup with no light at the end of the tunnel? How do you make sure your investments are safe from being washed away? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
You're talking about this situation with, and look, I don't know what goes into paying hush money to a porn star to secure silence over some type of alleged affair. I can't speak to that. But what I can speak to is that if you have a prosecutor who is ignoring crimes happening every single day in his jurisdiction, and he chooses to go back many, many years ago to try to use something about porn star hush money payments, you know, that's an example of pursuing a political agenda.
He just like rattled off an album name. I'm just saying, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, back from break. That's Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. He was asked about this just because he's a perceived front runner. going into 2024, even though he has not actually gone and fundraised. He hasn't announced that he's running. He came out with a book and has been doing all kinds of Florida stuff and trying to get other governors to do Florida stuff. That's been his big push. But he was asked about this. And I got to tell. So first, I'm going to come back to this. Just set this to the side by your bread plate. Okay. Just set it over by your bread plate. That's a little saucer that no one uses as the bread plate. It always gets taken out because nobody uses it. Just, you know, put. So we're talking about this indictment because I wrote about this. The left and Trump oddly want one thing. They share one singular desire. And that is they want to see him perp walked. Now, I know it sounds weird what I'm telling you here, because Trump wants this too. I'm going to come back to this. He wants this. They want it. They want the fingerprints, and he better smile. And if he gets a mugshot, he better have a big, giant grin plastered on his face. Because if you're going to do a mugshot, that's how you do it. You don't look sad and dejected. You don't do any of that stuff. You smile, because these are stupid charges, as I said. Alvin Bragg's argument, if you missed the first portion of our first hour, is that before Trump ran for president, through Michael Cohen, he paid off his alleged side piece, Stormy Daniels, and that now Alvin Bragg wants to retcon stuff and say that it benefited Trump's campaign for her to have been paid off to have been quiet. She was really bad at being quiet. Can I just interject? How can you sit here and say that that benefited his campaign? Because the alleged side piece did not shut up. Did she? I mean, she went out there and was all, I got paid, allegedly, by someone whose name rhymes with schmonald up. So she was really, that was a bad investment. It was just a bad investment. She didn't shut up. So I kind of, number one, I don't think you can say that that benefited his campaign. So that's number one. Number two, you may not like the narrative of an alleged side piece, but that does not make paying off an alleged side piece any more illegal. Okay? It doesn't. How much did Bill Clinton pay? Which one? How many of them were there?
I'm not sure.
No. Jennifer Flowers, Paula Jones.
That's right.
How much did they get paid off? I can't remember. I was in school when all this, like, not college, when all this was happening. And I just remember there were all kinds of accusations flying about these broads. He said, yeah, he paid off Paula Jones almost $1 million to drop her suit. And who was the woman that he told to put some ice on it? Her husband had passed away and he was consoling her and then he decided to grope her. Allegedly. Who is that? who is that?
I'm not sure.
I mean, I don't even remember. We don't even know because there's so many. There were so many. There's so much money flying over so many alleged side pieces during that administration.
Was that Juanita Broderick?
Oh, maybe it was Juanita Broderick.
I think it was.
Because there were even more beyond her.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just saying, now Lorraine points out, who's, by the way, has done an amazing job holding down the fort with the newsletter and everything this past week. She reminds us that Stormy Daniels lost her case and had to pay Trump back because she violated the NDA. So, again, it's not illegal to pay your alleged side piece. Now, you may not, I know what some of you are thinking, Dana, that I know, will you just please for a moment stop? Just stop. I'm not telling you to just start go out and whoring around. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just telling you to stop for one moment. Come on, friends. Come on. Pour yourself another cup of coffee if you need it. I'm just saying, separate the two things. It is not illegal to have an alleged side piece, to allegedly have an alleged. How many times do I got to use that word? We're all adults. I mean, not like her, but, you know, we're adults. But it's not illegal. Alvin Bragg saying, well, it is because it benefited his campaign. And again, the example that I used previously was that's like saying that Donald Trump's mom should be investigated for violating campaign finance laws because she gave birth to him. That's a, you know, pretty generous in-kind campaign contribution. You know, I mean, just saying. They can go after somebody like Dinesh D'Souza for going a couple $1,000s over the limit. I mean, surely a whole life. So my point is that these are entirely political and stupid. Now, that being said, even by the way, the New York Times was even forced to acknowledge all this. This he's trying to say that it's a mis. He's trying to. Andy McCarthy said at best it could be a misdemeanor, and I could see that if they're able to try to tie it to some kind of period where he had already declared, because when you declare, then everything falls under FEC. That's why I thought it was so dumb for him to announce early. Now, some people were saying, and we rolled it out of speculation, mate, because everyone knew something like this was coming from Manhattan. And the thought was that Trump wanted to go ahead and announce that he was running to give himself insulation over when these charges dropped. Right? So that brings me to my next point. Democrats have to have this division and they have to have this chaos, because without it, that means everybody sees what Joe Biden's doing. Now, while all of this is going on tomorrow, I hope you all are paying attention to what Biden does and to what's like right now. We're going to talk about this later. Xi Jinping is in Moscow. They had a fun little walkabout looking at all the troops and military stuff. All the equipment, all that. They had a little press conference and Shaky Leg McPillowface was talking to Xi Jinping. Does that mean? Because it's accurate, right? I'm not being mean. I'm just, you know, calling things out as they exist. So here's the other thing. As I said before we went into headlines, this is not the time to run out half-cocked. I don't care who says to go out and protest. You are being baited into repeating what a few rioters did on January 6th. Now, we were live on air when this happened. And it was pretty, I mean, I was watching some of this. And one of the things that I noted, because I knew people who were at the Trump rally at the Ellipse, and then there were blocks and blocks away, there were people who were at the Capitol. And we were some of the first people to express anger at the few destructive rioters. And do I believe, if you're asking my personal opinion, if I believe that there were some Fed boys amongst the crowd, why, yes, I do. But that being said, I also know human nature. And there were a few destructive rioters who were out there busting windows that we, the taxpayers, paid for in the Capitol building that we own. I don't know about you, but stuff I buy, I don't like seeing it getting broke. You know what I mean? And we just spent all this time blasting Antifa for rioters. For rioting. So when I see a few rioters, and it was a few, it was absolutely a few, I will physically fight you on this, because compared to the thousands upon thousands upon thousands who did not engage in any shenanigans, yes, it's a few. People who behaved like Antifa deserved appropriate charges. However, there were many others who received some serious penalties and weird indefinite detentions for things like unlawful parading when they didn't even enter the Capitol. We're going to be talking to some of them coming up. They were left to hang without a pardon. Yes, I know. They were, though. They were left to hang without a pardon. You can sit here and say, well, he only had 13 days after, or they didn't know what the charges were going to be. That didn't matter when Nixon was pardoned. You can issue a pardon in layman's terms for whatever you anticipate the charges to be. I mean, that you're the president. You can do that. So there was no funds received for bail or attorney's fees. So I just think if someone's going to call you to go out and protest, maybe make sure. And he didn't tell people to riot. We carried that on air on the 6th. So I'm not going to be gaslit into believing an alternate version of what I literally played on my airwaves. But he did want people to rally with him and all of that. I just think, don't go and get baited by someone who's not going to pay your bond. That's just kind of my role, right? oh, you won't cover my bond? I ain't going to go out and protest. Just kind of how I look at it. Now, I think that Trump is absolutely, you should defend him on this because this is a stupid. It's stupid. These are stupid charges. But at the same time, he wants the television theater of it. Now, this is where it gets tricky for him. And it brings me to my next point. There was, I wasn't alone in saying this, there was a very particular benefit that Trump had for announcing early, no matter what your opinion of his campaign or anything else is. Because the reality of this is that he wants to look pursued by the feds. If I'm looking at his campaign, if I'm running his campaign, it benefits him to not have to go head to head with a challenger. It benefits him to look like he is pursued by the federal government and avoid any kind of contest with a potential challenger, primary challenger. There's a downside to this, though. Downside is this. The electorate is broke. The electorate is suffering from inflation. The electorate is still dealing with supply chain issues. The electorate is still fighting in their school boards. They're still trying to stay afloat here in the beginnings of this recession. They will get tired of nonstop headline saturation. That is a reality. And the American Pravda knows this. Trump does not. Now, here's the reality of that awareness. Lack of media discipline has always been simultaneously both Trump's strongest point and weakest point. And it takes someone who understands the media landscape of the political sphere. You can only do television theater in politics for so long. You can only do boardroom tactics in the political sphere for so long. It is different. It is a different animal. And a lot of the people who were around him last time who helped craft that strategy and knew how to maximize his strongest and weakest point are not there anymore. I think that's why he's making some bad decisions. All those people are gone. That's a fact. So this is the time for cooler heads and smart moves. You cannot allow your political opposition to manipulate you into reacting emotionally and doing what they want you to do. So as I said in my newsletter, my advice is to take a breath and take a beat and let the left get over their skis, because that is what they do every single time. Now, we have a lot more, not just on this, but foreign policy. As I said, Xi Jinping is in Moscow. And in addition to that, oh, the bank financial statements from the U.S. Treasury on the Biden family. Who's the secret Biden? And speaking of Biden, he's floating new regulations for washing machines. I'll physically fight you. I will not even dealing with this. And also, if he gets his way using the wrong pronoun, that could be a human rights violation. Oh, I have a million things. And the neocon response to DeSantis's position on Ukraine. I've talked a lot about the Kel-Tec KSG shotgun over the years, and it's no secret how much I love it. It's become the go-to shotgun for law enforcement and home defense, and for a really good reason. But why am I such a huge fan of the Kel-Tec KSG? Well, like everything that Kel-Tec invents, it created an entirely new class of shotgun. And the one that started it all is the KSG shotgun. It's the first 12-gauge pump-action shotgun chambered for 3-inch shells. And with its dual tube mags, offers a capacity of 12 plus 1. So that's 6 rounds in each tube, plus 1 chambered. If you prefer 2 3/4-inch shells, even better, because the KSG holds 7 plus 7 plus 1. That's 15 shells. You cannot ignore the downward shell ejection either. It makes the KSG truly ambidextrous and ejects shells away from your face. It's brilliant design. See the Kel-Tec KSG up close and personal at KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Again, to find out more, visit KelTecWeapons.com.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others. The Dana Show.
That's true. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. I've got a lot of good stuff up there for you that you are going to want to check out. So one of the things, you know how people have summer reading or beach reading? I was reading for the second time this bio on Jimmy Carter. So when he kicks the bucket, you know, I'm all topped off, right? So I was reading this thing, another thing about Jimmy Carter. And I was also reading about feral hogs. You don't laugh at me because it is a serious problem. It's getting worse. And it's not just me. Newsweek actually came out with a piece saying America's feral hog problem is about to get even worse for all you people who ate AR-15s. I'm going to tell you, the hunting, there are two animals that give me, I've never hunted bear. That kind of makes me a little nervous. But for whatever reason, the idea of hunting feral hog, and maybe it's because I was raised on, you know, Old Yeller and all that kind of stuff, that actually hunting feral hog is a thing that does terrify me. And they are mean, mean, mean animals. A lot of you know, but some of you maybe don't. You could take a domesticated pig, you could release it out in the wild, and soon it's going to be growing its whiskers and tusks. Those tusks are so sharp, they will slice through work pants. They will gut you like nothing. And they cause billions of dollars per state damages a year. I mean, they are really bad for the environment. They cause all kinds of damage to farmland, crop, everything. And so now apparently there is a huge problem. I mean, it's like, actually, it's about $3 billion, what I think, each year, damage to agriculture. And they're trying to figure out what to do with it. I got an idea. Uh-huh. I got an idea what you can do. Get those AR-15s. Go out and get you some wild bacon. Yeah. Just saying. Woo. Stay with us. Second hour on the way.
To save more lives more quickly. First, this executive order helps keep firearms out of dangerous hands. As I continue to call on Congress to require background checks for all firearm sales. And in the meantime, my executive order directs my Attorney General to take every lawful action possible to move us as close as we can to universal background checks without
new
legislation.
So this was one of the other things that was interrupting my tranquility over break. Welcome back to the program. Top of our second hour this Monday. You're somewhat rested. Little recharged, right? Yeah. Curmudgeon Dana Lash here with you. Make sure you subscribe over at Substack Chapter and Verse. I've sent out a lot of really good things over there. So I know you don't want to miss them. So make sure you go check it out. The speech there from Biden was basically a don't pay attention to the horrific economy and everything else that's happening. Guns. That's what that was. That's literally all it was. His whole point was that. And the whole idea, I did tweet about it. I was trying to remember what I tweeted about it at the time. Because it's dumb. I mean, this whole, first off, nothing that he says here, I was looking at the EO, directs my Attorney General to take every action possible to move us to, so universal background checks they don't work. California has them. Had they worked in every state that's had a mass casualty incident, they've had universal background checks. They've had them in New York, they've had them in Illinois, they've had them in California, they've had them in Washington, they've had universal background checks. Universal background checks require a registry of every gun you own in order to function. So it's not about background checks, which we have. They want a registry. But they can't come out and scare you all to bits saying that they want a registry. So they try to act like they're expanding the background check system. Now, whether or not you like the background check system is an entirely separate argument from whether or not there should be one, okay? I understand, I know, but I'm just saying there are two different arguments here. If their argument is they want to improve the background check system, then they would try to make them as at least as strong as the background checks that are used when you go and you fill out an application and try to get a job. Because if you have a prospective employer that screws up your background check, or you got a false positive on something, or you're denied because of an error, well, then that there's some, you know, some actionable steps to take there. Not so much, though, if you are the state and you screw up, because not every state sends every prohibited possessor information into the National Crime Information Center. And that's what NICS checks when you fill out your 4473. So long story short is that they want to take and make a system that's already faulty and make it worse. And they want, but they want a registry. The only way this works is if you have a registry. And I know, blah, 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 there's federal law that prevents it from happening. They think that they're going to try to end run around it by having federal incentives for every state to incorporate such a registry. In California, on your concealed carry permit, they list the guns you got. And your permit is only for the guns that are on that card. Serial number and all. That's wild to me. Absolutely wild to me. And those are very difficult to get in the state of California. I've seen three. I've seen three of them. It's wild. But this is just a distraction from the failed economy. And furthermore, all of the stuff in his executive order that he posted on the White House, or that the White House posted on their website, all this stuff is already law. It's literally already law. They're trying to act like, well, federal firearms licensees can't sell to people that they think are can't have guns. Yeah, that's already law. You're trying to flex on something that already exists. It's already codified in USC 1922 A through Z 1110. It's already there. Stop. He needs a distraction. He said we're going to ban assault weapons and high capacity magazines. Well, first off, the assault weapons ban had no impact on crime. Oh, it's not just me saying this. It is also a Democrat Department of Justice saying this. And the New York Times, a Rand Institute study, and five other separate independent studies that have been taken in the course of a 10-year period, all of which I have provided so generously on this thing that we call the internet, and in two books. It didn't work. Had zero impact on crime. You know, the Obama DOJ was looking at that too, and they were like, oh, well, guess can't publicize this. Mag bans are enforceable and they do nothing. Do you want to know one of the reasons why? Among the many, it takes not even a tenth of a second to swap mags. What's the next move going to be? You're going to go and ban basic garage tools because everybody and their brother will be making an extended mag in their garage for the guns that they lost in a boating accident? I mean, I'm just wondering. Assault weapons ban didn't work. Mag bans are unenforceable and do nothing. It's nothing more than a distraction from a very bad, no good, disastrous week that Biden had. So that's one of the things that's been bubbling up. Now, a couple of other things to hit. The U.S. Treasury finally gave up on those Biden family financials. This was some really good reading over. You know, I was telling you about my beach reads. So I was reading a bio on Jimmy Carter so I can, you know, be topped off when. And I was reading that, and I was reading about feral hog problems. Anyway, I felt like I was reading the National Enquirer. It was wild. Who's the other Biden that was getting stuff? Jill? Is that what the speculation is? Because everybody and their brother was getting fat bank, making money off of China, and specifically the green deals that they've been making. Interesting, this one. Now, the other, and I'm still sticking to this, but in relation to this, because a lot of this stuff came from the laptop, so Hunter Biden is suing that computer repair shop over the laptop, saying that it was an invasion of privacy. Now, how does this work? Hunter Biden takes his laptop into this computer repair shop. How long did he leave it there? It was almost a year. After a certain amount of time, he signed a work agreement. The shop requires that everybody sign a work agreement, right? So if you leave your stuff there, because they're not your own personal locker, if you leave your stuff there, you forfeit your rights to your property. He signed that work form. He signed the agreement. He left his laptop. After he signed the agreement, his signature in his own hand, he has no case at all whatsoever. An invasion of privacy. You know whose privacy was invaded? Do you know whose brain space was invaded? Ours. All of us had to suffer through headlines of this flabby, disheveled, drug-addled freak who took nonstop selfies in all manner of activity And we have been subjected to them because he also kept those photos and his homemade videos on a laptop, along with a ton of other business emails implicating him in merching out the VP office and his dad's POTUS position for his own family's financial gain. We've all been subjected to this. Why don't we file suit? I feel harassed. Kane, I'm harassed. I'm triggered. I feel harassed. This is gross. Some of these things you can't unsee. Eye bleach is not a thing. It's disgusting. So where is where's our lawsuit? Where's that at? But I can't wait to see. Now, the Oversight Committee, they've released all these records. They were showing that the associate, Rob Walker, used his company to transfer money from a Chinese energy company to Hunter Biden, James Biden, Hallie Biden, and unknown Biden. Now, they all try to argue that, well, this is not true, or this is just a witch hunt. They're making money off of a green energy scheme with the Communist Party of China. How is that not a national security issue? They're enriching themselves by partnering with the CCP while pushing a green policy agenda that benefits the CCP, because the CCP owns the monopoly on all of the rare earth elements required for a green agenda. And the Bidens, they facilitated already the acquisition of one of the largest cobalt mines in the world in Democratic Republic of Congo for China. That was Hunter Biden's firm. You know, the one that it was one of those mines where ABC did a big expose on them, I don't know how many years ago, showing these kids hand digging for cobalt. So they already facilitated that, and he made a lot of money off of it. So this is just basically the same thing. They want to deliver the American economy and energy security to China. And how much will they make off of it? It is absolutely a national security issue. And people who can't even acknowledge this are too partisan to breathe. It is an absolute NatSec issue. So who do you think the fourth Biden is? Is it Jill? I don't know if Jill's involved in it. Is it Ashley Biden? The chick, the 40-something-year-old chick who hid her drug-addled diary in the mattress of a drug den? Her? Just wondering. I mean, that's just wondering who the fourth Biden is. Now, while all of this is happening, we're going to be talking here coming up with Stephen Yates. I'm sure you've seen the pictures. I'm actually looking at one of the videos right now of Xi Jinping in Moscow. Have you all seen this? Xi Jinping is in Moscow. He's visiting Russia. China doesn't believe that Putin should be held accountable for anything in Ukraine. And they act like they're forming some kind of peace plan, which we all know that's not true. This is a very interesting change of pace. Because when they had their, what do they do every year? Their Red Square thing, where they bring out their military and they have this big thing. And they're always dignitaries, or like Xi Jinping's deputy. And the last time they did this, actually the last two times, I don't believe that any dignitaries or officials from China were in attendance. And I thought that was kind of telling, because it looked as though China were distancing themselves from Russia because of Russia's aggression in Ukraine. So now you got Xi Jinping over there. Now, do you really think that this is about him brokering peace? I know. We're going to talk to Stephen Yates about all of this. They also kind of glossed over how Putin could not sit still in that chair. He's always very stoic. He's a short dude. What is he, like 5'5"? 5'6"? I'm 5'6", and I lie all the time and say I'm 5'7". It's probably my hair. I seem 5'7". But he's wee. He's a small dude. And I mean, you got Xi Jinping bigger than him. Who was it? Tony Blair was bigger than him. I know. He's not, you know, a particularly large dude. Interesting. So we're going to talk to Stephen Yates about all of this coming up. I have some wokery on the way for you as well. Coming up, too, after headlines, a suburban bakery was targeted after they planned a drag show. Targeted. They were criticized after they planned a drag show, all ages. And then now when people decided they don't want to have anything to do with their skanky baked goods, they're crying about it. And they're saying, oh, we're due to horrific harassment. No, you chose to make a move that didn't benefit you. That's not harassment. People criticized what you were doing. We've got that as well coming up. Can I also please have some fun with the story that came out towards the end of last week where they were trying to make a big deal out of Ron DeSantis eating a pudding cup with fingers? The snack pack that packs a punch. We're going to talk about that's a nickname, snack pack. That is a nickname. I said it first.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Prices are now so high that the Dollar Tree does not sell eggs anymore. 8,000 stores are pulling eggs from shelves, and customers are warned that they're not going to be on sale again until fall due to rampant inflation. A small part, I know they say avian flus, blah, blah, it's inflation. So they stopped. You know what the cost of a dozen hit? Almost $4.50.
Hey, Dollar General.
A Dollar General. That's like, golly, craziness. But, you know, it's like Putin or something. ChatGPT CEO admits he is scared that the bot could be used for large-scale disinformation and cyber attacks. I agree, too. I think that all of this in social media is just now, at this point, priming people to be easily persuaded and manipulated. Completely it. That is exactly what this is. And Sam Altman, he told ABC that he's actually, it terrifies him. He said he's scared about its abilities, but he's also scared how humans are going to use it. I mean, can you imagine? We've gone from creating it to now being controlled by it. It's just... Also, a retired Marine shot a terrorist after he was shot during an attack. This is from Daily Caller. It was a Palestinian terrorist shot at a car with his family inside, according to the Times of Israel. David Stern, retired Marine and weapons instructor, he ended up shooting back. Wow. Stay with us.
Politics, pop culture, and whatever else gets canceled, tossed in a blender, paid for by sponsored hate mail. It's The Dana Show.
DeSantis is completely wrong on this. This is not the time to get weak in the knees on Russia, which is what he's doing. This is the time to understand that the reason that Russia is trying to get our drones is because we've had weakness. The reason is because they hear this conversation. It's that same mentality that got us into the situation that we're in with China.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that at all. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with back from break. Lovable curmudgeon. Make sure you can listen to us across the country, see the shining sea. Channel 349 DirecTV, I believe. And you can also stream it on YouTube, Facebook. Lorraine moderates the discussion over on YouTube, so you can join in all those things. Nikki Haley is going to be on the program with us on Thursday. Now, all of this, as you know, this is because of a response that took place last week. And she was saying that she was responding to what DeSantis had stated. He had said that the U.S. has many vital national interests, securing our borders, et cetera, et cetera. But he said that basically that should be done before becoming further entangled in a territorial dispute between Ukraine and Russia. He said that dispute was not one of our vital national interests. And there were a lot of people in the Republican Party that were mad about that, which I laugh about it. I'm like, if you ever needed, I mean, what is a great way to fly the non-neocon anti-establishment flag? That's a way to do it. I think he absolutely has the correct take. You're not going to convince me that my sons or your sons or daughters should go and, because it'll just keep escalating with the same blockheads in charge, should go and fight and potentially die for what is, it is. It is a territorial dispute. It's the Donbas region. It is a territorial dispute. That is what it is. You can get mad about the class of, my husband and I disagree on this greatly. I called him a neocon and he gets mad. But we very much disagree on this issue. I just think that all these people are wrong. I think that all of these people are wrong with this, because I still, what vital national interest is it of ours to send even more money on top of what we've already sent and get further involved in Ukraine? I mean, when I ask Republicans this, I can't get an answer. What is it? Oh, you know what answer I do get? I get the, well, it's because Russia keeps expanding and they're going to be on they're going to be on NATO's doorstep. Hi, anyone familiar at all whatsoever with basic geography? They're already on NATO's doorstep. Latvia, Estonia, all these countries, these are NATO countries. Russia's there bordering them. So that's that bird don't hunt. That dog don't hunt. That bird don't fly. That doesn't work. So what is it? What is it? I keep seeing these, there were a lot of critics and they were saying, oh, this might be a misstep. It's not a misstep. We haven't even been provided with accountability as to where our tax dollars are going in Ukraine, much less have any Republican articulate beyond the argument that I just disproved what our vital national interests are for getting involved. A lot of people, comes down to a lot. I don't expect every single person to understand the themes that are playing out in this conflict that has been brewing for such a long, long time. It has been a contested region for a long time, and this uneasiness and tension has gone back since the end of World War II. And all of this stems from the way that everything was organized under the USSR with the Soviet republics and the territories given therein, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I don't expect people who are working to just keep their home in this inflationary period at the start of this recession. People who, I mean, eggs are, dollar store not even carrying eggs anymore. Are you going to spend your time working to make sure that your family is provided for? Or are you going to hit the books and study the origins of the contested region of the Donbas area and all of the players that are involved? No! Our government, by the way, shouldn't be so damn big that you don't have time to do things like this. But that's a whole other argument. It's purposefully big because they want to keep you clueless. A big government means that you don't know exactly what's happening all the time everywhere. That's the point. So then these people want to use it against you. The crisis they have created financially in this country, the big government that they have expanded to the point where you don't even know what's going on a basic day. They want to use your inability, your lack of any other time to study any other interest, to even look at anything else that's happening with some disputed border in a part of the world that most people can even spell the Donbas region. And I'm not saying that people are ignorant. I'm saying people are busy dealing with the crisis that the federal government has become for them. But they want to use that against you. They want to invalidate any dissent that you have because of that. That's what I take exception to. I don't expect every single person to understand every single thing that goes on with it. Look, I'm going to tell you something. The average person that you see on TV, whether they're or here on the radio, most of these people, unless, you know, they went and studied foreign policy or unless they're Stephen Yates, who we're going to be talking to, you know, coming up here. These, you know, if I'm not an expert on an area, I'll bring somebody in who is. I know what I know and I know what I don't know. I know enough about the area that I trust my own judgment in determining that I agree with DeSantis. It's a territorial dispute. But what gets me is that all of these people who have been beating the war drums for so damn long, they're the ones who are taking issue with this. It's the same people that if I were forced to classify who is a neocon and who isn't, which is a word that really hasn't been used since the fall of the Berlin Wall. Now it's coming back again because all the same stuff is coming back. Then those are the people that I would classify as being neocons. I don't think that he's wrong there at all whatsoever. And what galls me is that I hear Republicans go after their perceived front runner in a primary who hasn't even announced harder than they go after damn Joe Biden, who helped create this problem with a complete absence of leadership. I'm always suspect of any Republican that goes after the front runner or presumed front runner more than they go after the actual people in power who've created the problem. So I completely agree with him. It's a territorial dispute. We've been spending $7 billion a month in Ukraine. That's according to the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
Well,
it's probably more than that.
Yeah.
But on average, if you had to space it out, what the center is saying is that it's about that much. Good heavens. Now, of course, that was last year. As of a year ago, the total was $68 billion. And it's in the hundreds of billions now at this point. It's in the hundreds of billions at this point. Now, the issue of what to send, what to do, etc. I really do think, and from everything that I was looking at, I mean, it seemed like Ukraine was getting to a point where they were going to sit down and there was going to be a negotiation over disputed territories, because there were some people who said, well, some wanted to vote. They voted for independence. Some didn't. There's so much misinformation out there. It's crazy. It's crazy. There's so much misinformation out there. And people who I've seen very intelligent people who argue that the particular disputed region over which these two entities are fighting, that, oh, well, they wanted to be independent. They didn't want to be part of Ukraine. I've seen people argue, smart people that I know have been lifelong conservatives. And then I see a bunch of other new people that I don't know say, oh, well, those are Putin talking points. There is a psyop that is being perpetuated against the right now, and half the right doesn't even know it. And it's because of rat bastard social media. We don't even need AI to manipulate us. We're being manipulated by each other already. People are even they're too damn scared to even share an opinion. It's not a Putin talking point to say that Ukraine is corrupt. It's not a Putin talking point to say that some of the contested regions, they don't identify themselves as being part of Ukraine. That's not a Putin talking point. That's called history. It's in things like books and on the internet. This is not hidden information. Not everything is a damn Putin talking point. Golly. Wild. And so these Republicans that have been out there criticizing this, I mean, it's the usual suspects. And it's not a dominating former Soviet, it's not about the Soviet state coming back into power. And that's something that Marco Rubio has argued. He was trying to triangulate and say, well, it's not a territorial dispute in the sense that any more than it would be a territorial dispute if it was the United States that decided to invade Canada or take. That is a false equivalency. Canada was never part of the United States. Ever. Bahamas were never part of the United States. Ever. Hell, Bahamas are Commonwealth. So is Canada. So what does that even mean? That's an actual ignorant analogy. If you wanted to have a discussion as to what is ignorant and not ignorant, that's an ignorant analogy. I mean, it would be more like I don't even know if there's something I could give to. I think the closest thing that you could argue is maybe Mexico and Texas, but Texas wanted independence. Kind of like how one region over there also wanted independence. I'm just saying. So it's not an appropriate analogy. Lindsey Graham, obviously. He says America's better off with a Ukrainian victory than a Russian victory. What does even that mean? What does that even mean? What is the victory over there? Can anyone define it? What is the victory? What does that look like? What, Russia withdrawing? Great. What do the borders look like after? What do they look like after? That's the question. And you can't dodge and say that it's not a territorial dispute if you're answering, well, they look like what they were before the invasion. Okay, well, there was a part of Ukraine that actually was contesting that before the invasion. Look, you're not going to solve the problem in one afternoon. You're not going to solve the problem in one tweet. You're not going to solve the problem in one radio segment. But one of the things that is absolutely unhelpful is to try to say that everything else is this talking point or that talking point, or criticizing with bad analogies an actual legitimate statement that's based on fact, because you don't want someone to get too ahead of you in a perceived primary match. We're going to talk to Stephen Yates about this a little bit more here coming up. He's going to be joining us next hour. So this bakery I was telling you about. Uprising Bakery and Cafe. Well, that sounds like their stuff sucks already. Sounds like their scones are hard as rocks and tasteless. Yep. Uprising Bakery and Cafe. It's the suburban Chicago bakery. They were targeted after they announced plans to host a family-friendly drag brunch, whatever that means. Drag is based upon sexual innuendo. The end. And the only people doing drag for all ages are basic bitches who couldn't get hired to do it anywhere else. I'm not saying that. Who is the big drag queen that's actually apparently like very popular and like makes six figures who said that? Like on one of the cable news shows? So don't entirely quote me. But they said that the bakery owner described horrific harassment no business should endure. People criticized them and they wilted. That's what happened. What did you think was going to happen if you're announcing, guys, we're going to have grown men dressed as women shake their butts in front of toddlers? So great. I mean, when did that become the measure of open-mindedness? I mean, where's the limit? So they said they got fake negative reviews and hateful comments. They're in Chicago. And they're acting like it was, I'm getting some Juicy Smollier vibes here. They said, oh, our windows were broken and our walls were defaced. By who? I'm just getting some, again, Juicy Smollier vibes here. But really, what did you think was going to happen when you do stuff like this? I mean, it's not, what are you trying to prove to have grown men shake it for little kids? It's weird. It's gross. Why? What is it? There's a difference. I see these false equivalencies being pushed out there all the time. Oh, someone went to a drag show, so that must mean you're okay with this. I've never been to a drag show. I don't care enough to even argue about it, except when you're talking about kids being involved, because it's an adult activity. Like, why did that become the measure of open-mindedness? Like, go ahead and take your damn toddlers to the casino and let them gamble. I mean, hell, where are you going to draw the line? It's all ridiculous. But they can't be shocked. Coming up, CDC tracked millions of phones to see if people follow lockdown orders. You know that. We're going to talk about this here. We're also going to get, I have more foreign policy for you. We also have some more wokery and the indictment. What to expect tomorrow? What's going to happen? And with South Korea and North Korea, apparently now Kim Jong-un is ordering North Korean troops to prepare for, quote, immediate and overwhelming nuclear counterattack. What? What world is he living in? We got all of that and a lot more here coming up. You don't want to miss.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Man, I don't know what y'all are doing for spring break down there, but the Miami Beach mayor called for a spring break ban after one man was shot and killed on the sidewalk. Partygoers jumped on cars. Fights breaking on the streets. Shops getting trashed. There's a 12 a.m. curfew. Dontavius Polk was arrested for one of the two fatal shootings. So the mayor wants to cancel it. I mean, the footage looks a little chaotic, I just gotta say. What are you people doing down there? I mean, Florida man's got enough on his hands right now. All people don't need to be going down there causing more problems for all these Florida people. Come on. Good heavens. Now, couple of others. This is funny. A Florida man was boating. Well, it sounds like he was leading cops on a chase through the canals of Cape Coral, evading police. His mugshot, Lee County Sheriff's Office, has a Band-Aid on his head. According to Cape Coral Police Department, Kurt Snowden, 51, was arrested after officers responded to a call. It was a boating hit and run around 9:15 p.m. So this dude apparently was lit, highly drunk, causing a scene, playing his music, screaming, disturbing the peace, hitting all the docks in the area with his boat. And the witnesses, a ton of witnesses, gave their accounts to the cops. So the officers just kind of followed him around. He would not do what he was asked to do. They said, steer the boat back towards your house. He wouldn't do it. So he kind of like led him on a little chase through the canals. And they finally got him. He was immediately detained and transported to Lee County Jail. He refused to participate in any of the sobriety tests. Third hour on the way. Stephen Yates is going to join us. Don't go anywhere.
I don't think people should protest this, no. And I think President Trump, if you talk to him, he doesn't believe that either. I mean, I think the thing that you may misinterpret when President Trump talks, when someone says that they can protest, he would probably be referring to my tweet, educate people about what's going on. He's not talking in a harmful way. And nobody should. Nobody should harm one another in this. And this is why you should really make law equal. Because if that was the case, nothing would happen here.
Yeah, I mean, if law was equal, I mean, that would be great. Hunter Biden would be in jail. Damn, would Joe even be president? I don't even know. No. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. At the top of our third hour this Monday. I don't really know what's going to happen tomorrow. That was Kevin McCarthy, House Speaker on this. Nobody was saying that Trump was telling people to go out and like be violent or anything like that. I just don't want people to get baited into stuff. And I'm also like, maybe if you're going to have people protest, maybe bail you some of your money to bail out some of the people that have been detained for who knows how long for unlawful parading and things like that as related to January 6th. I wrote about that in the newsletter and sent it out a couple nights ago. I'm just saying, there are people who didn't get pardons and there was time to do it. And yes, you can pardon even if a charge hasn't yet been substantiated, because we saw that with Nixon. So don't do that. But the other thing, too, is that this case could just backfire spectacularly on Democrats. I think it's the stupidest charge I've ever. I was reading the reasoning that Bragg was using in his interviews, and we don't even actually know. I mean, do we know? Is this going to come out Tuesday? Is anything said that it's going to happen tomorrow other than Trump? What are people going off of? Can we just again, take a breath, take a beat, let the left get over their skis? Can we just wait a second? Why do we think this is going to happen tomorrow? He said it will. Kane, do you know? Don't just type it into Slack. What? Were you typing an answer into Slack? Kane gets over there and he'll get a look on his face and type something into Slack.
Yeah, sometimes I do that, but I was actually searching up if there's any other correlations for the Tuesday timeline, because wouldn't that there have to be some announcement from Alvin Bragg, or at least from the DA, that would indicate Tuesday as one of those deals? So yeah, I'm going to see where that correlation.
They would announce and normal. And do they seriously go and say, well, we're going to come to your home on this day and arrest you? That's not really, they're not going to say it, but. At the same, we knew something like this was come, that they were going to try something. I just think it's the dumbest charge ever. From what I understand, there's apparently one aspect of it that Andy McCarthy thinks could be made a misdemeanor, whether or not there was any kind of campaign, anything related that involved in it, and that would just be a misdemeanor. It still makes whatever Ilhan Omar did worse in Michigan, but it would be considered like a campaign thing, and that's just a misdemeanor. But again, paying off your side piece is not illegal. Don't have a side piece. Let's just agree to not have side pieces. But it's not illegal to pay your... I can't even believe I'm saying this. But it's not, right? It's your money. You can do whatever the hell you want with it. She actually had to pay him back because she violated the NDA that went along with it, from what Lorraine noted. She had to pay him back. So I'm just saying, you know, let's... I just... All of this... is really, I don't know. It's not even being presented, I don't think. When does it hit grand jury? Today's the last day. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yes, I guess they could, you know, I guess that they're going about it for tomorrow. Can we address one thing that I've seen as a talking point endlessly? So, as I said, this would benefit Trump, but there's a downside to it. Now, I'm just looking at this very clinically, so follow me here. I'm not looking at this political one way or the other in terms of preference. I'm looking at this very clinically. Trump, it benefits Trump and it also hurts Trump. Here's how it benefits Trump. Because he would dominate a news cycle and then he would look very much persecuted by the federal government. And he wants those photos. I'm not talking about the chart. We've already discussed the charges are stupid. But I'm saying he would like that image because it bolsters his claim that he's the one sought by the feds. He doesn't want to have to go. If I was his campaign, I wouldn't want him to go head to head with any primary challengers. I would want to make it as though he's going after the machine, or the machine's coming after him, rather. That being said, it does not, to drag it out, though, to have this dragged out is going to make people tired. And that's where the base would get very tired and exhausted because the base is broke. They're dealing with high price. I mean, Jiminy Christmas, eggs were like $4.50 at dollar store. That's why they're not even carrying them anymore. People are broke. They're broke. They don't want to talk about how much money was allegedly paid to an alleged side piece. They're broke. Okay. They can't even afford a side piece. America is so broke. They can't even afford a side piece. Okay. Stop. Oh. But I'm saying that people could get tired and they'll get exhausted. And then there is fatigue. That is dangerous politically. So there's the downside to it. Secondly, he does not help himself when he tries to tie this to DeSantis. Stop it. Why do you need to do this? You know, who is advising him? I want to shake them till their chiclet teeth fall out their head. Who is telling him to do this? Because it's dumb. Here's why it's dumb. They keep saying, well, DeSantis should, people keep talking about extraditing him or something like that. Or they say, why can't DeSantis do anything? Yes, Trump's base now is in Mar-a-Lago in Florida. But he has so much business. And is his tax domicile, is that even in Florida or is it still in New York? Because there is zero question at all whatsoever that he has enough of established presence in New York that he completely can face something in their court system. So that's why that argument is totally moot. You can't, it's irrelevant. So I don't know why people are keep pressing that as a way to try to like ding DeSantis. It's, I mean, you can officially move somewhere, but where essentially you file your taxes, where your financial base can technically be, I mean, can technically be different from where you are. Is it in Florida now? Because he still has enough of a business established presence in New York.
Oh, and always
I was reading a financial piece on this. It's a very dry piece. I'm going to put this in your email prep. It's a very dry piece, but it gets into how with his business context that actually he, I mean, there's no reason as to why he wouldn't be able to face anything in New York. So that's why. Furthermore, adding to that, the time period of when everything happened was when his base financially and physically was in New York. So it's still all irrelevant. So I don't know why people are making that stupid argument. Don't do it. It's a distraction. Anything that is not getting you towards the main goal is a distraction. That's just a bad argument to make. So I'm going to add this too. Can I add one other thing about this? I do not like seeing people that I like go at it, especially when we're on the same side. My response has always been to take both of them by the ear and talk to them privately. And then if I can't figure out something with somebody privately, then I will bust your ass in public. But he's been going, and I know that's his style, but it's not helpful for him to do that, to constantly go with them. And here's why. He runs a risk of looking weak on an aspect. All last week, his surrogates and people who are part of his inner circle were filing frivolous ethics complaints, one after the other, against DeSantis in Florida. And now their same people are turning around going, why didn't you get involved? Well, can you imagine if DeSantis was filing frivolous complaints on Trump and then turned around and asked Trump for help? How would Trump respond? Come on, people. I know how I would respond if somebody was doing that to me. Then you turn around, need my help? I know, because people done a lot less and then come around and ask me for something and I've said a lot more in return. So when you play the game a certain way, people will continue playing the game that way even if you don't want to play the game that way anymore. So keep that in mind. That's where he does not help himself. It is too early in the game to make enemies out of allies. And you never want to make an enemy out of an ally. So this is the whole thing. Now, whether or not, I don't know. Whether or not this happens tomorrow, I don't know. But while this is happening, please pay attention to all the serious stuff that's going down. Because right now you have Xi Jinping in Moscow. What's happening here? We're going to talk to Stephen Yates about this. I mean, we have, the budget that we're going to be fighting over. They want the debt ceiling limit increased. While all of this stuff is going on, you need to be paying attention as to what the other hand's doing. They want to distract you. Please please do not be distracted. And do not take your eye also off what GOP oversight's doing, particularly Jim Jordan's stuff. Whether it's the weaponization subcommittee or whether it's GOP oversight committee, Republican-led, that got the financial documents and made them available, who's the fourth person? Who's the fourth person making fat bank off of CCP? The tweet that I had while we were out, because Biden shared this note, I think it's totally fake. He tweeted this. He said this little girl, I guess named Charlotte, wrote him a note saying men are getting more money than girls. It's a stupid note. And the girl is uneducated on the topic. I'd be like, this is stupid. Who's your parent? Your parents are dumb. So she writes, President Biden, I just want to tell you something. Not fair to ladies. Men are getting more money than girls. The THEN. I think that you should. Yes, I am going to. I don't care if it's a child's letter. If you want to talk of politics, I don't care how old you are. You're going to be treated like that. That's what you want to come. No, there's no kid gloves here. I think that you should fix this since you're the president. Even I'm a child and I think we should do something. So some parent thought that was a good idea, or they totally made it up and Joe, they just allowed Joe Biden to write it and not change it and then use it because it would explain a lot. But he says, yes, women lose thousands of dollars each year and hundreds of thousands over a lifetime because of gender and racial wage gaps. I'm committed to building an economy where my daughters have the same rights and opportunities as my sons. We'd all love to have the same privileges as Hunter, right? I mean, no accountability for lying on a 4473, making fat bank off of like pushing certain bad policies in the United States. The CCP underwrites your whole endeavor and you're snorting coke off hookers. There's no accountability at all. So when do the rest of us get to dodge the federal eye of Sauron? You know what? Sidebar. That would be like a really good, like, super theory. What's the group that we were talking about? Kane, they're like the mathematical, no vocals, the math theory band, hard, like heavy metal, based in Dallas. Super crazy. I can't think of the name escapes me right now. Yes. Yes. You know what I'm talking about? Like one of the best living guitar players ever, and he's under 30.
You're talking Polyphia?
Yes. Polyphia. That's okay. Right. Like that type of band, but Federal Eye of Sauron, and they only write about how much they hate about that. All their music's about hating the IRS. That's
I'd
totally buy that, man. And then I'd probably get promptly audited. So we have a lot more on the way. Stephen Yates, as I said, is going to be joining us. So we've got that coming up. So why did the San Francisco Fed head, what works, miss SVB's warning signs?
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
This is gross. So this is in the UK. It's in southwest Wales. That's not the Wales accent, but whatever. Residents of a seaside town popular with tourists say they've been left living in terror. They were invaded by rats as big as cats. And they're destabilizing the cliffs along the picturesque coastline with their burrowing. They say rats all over the place, and the female rat typically has 6 litters per year, and so there's lots of them. They say they are as big as cats, and they have burrows all along the shoreline, and it's destabilizing the cliffs. That's how bad it is. Oof. Kane and I were just talking about this. Over 50% of Gen Z and baby millennials say they're not adulting right. Like, they just don't know how to do common tasks. That's what happens when you take shop classes and home ec out of high school, by the way. No one gives a rat's ass about your pronouns. Can you teach kids how to balance a checkbook, please, for the love of all things holy? Because maybe then they'll feel like they can do some things on their own. Good grief. I had one more. Oh, I'm not going to be able to. Okay, we got Stephen Yates. I didn't shut up last segment. That's my bad. He's going to be joining us next because Xi Jinping is in Moscow.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's chapter and verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
The president wants to keep the lines of communications open with China, and you've heard him say it himself just in recent days that he does want to set up another chance to talk to President Xi, and I suspect that will happen. It'll happen in due course when it's the appropriate time to do so. It's important, particularly when the tensions are so high between our two countries, that these two leaders keep that line of communication open, and the president's committed to doing that.
He might be committed to doing that, but it's not happening, and I don't know what would be accomplished from him doing it. Welcome back to the program. Your lovable, somewhat rested curmudgeon back behind the mic with you. And here at the bottom of our third hour this Monday. We've been talking a little bit about this. And we've been waiting, though, for our expert, our very good friend, Stephen Yates, because he's the real expert here. And we're like, whenever this happens, we got to talk to Mr. Yates, senior fellow at America First Policy Institute. And you can follow Steve over at YatesComs on Twitter. And he's also chair of the China Policy Initiative. Steve, always so good to see you. I have to tell you, it was really weird to see Xi Jinping in Moscow with Vladimir Putin walking together while you have all of the soldiers and the military equipment out. You know, they did this. I don't know. It's a thing that tyrants do. They always like to go out and look at their military equipment. It just was really unsettling. And I wanted to start off with, you know, right at the, I guess it was at the start of the expansion of their invasion in Ukraine, whenever they have their little red square parade, China didn't send any dignitaries. But now Xi Jinping is over in Moscow. Why is there such a big difference between the, it seemed like they were just ostracizing Moscow. And now, you know, you have the head of the CCP there.
Yeah, well, China, especially Xi Jinping, has been playing both sides of this from the get-go. But he's also made very, very clear when push comes to shove, which side does he lean towards? He's said that Vladimir Putin is his very good friend. Not a lot of people in the world say Vlad is their very good friend. He says that they have an unlimited partnership. Well, why? That's really pretty broad commitment to one side here. He's floated this idea of some kind of a peace plan to bring the war to a halt and to stand up for international sovereignty without ever saying, how do you draw the sovereign boundaries of Ukraine now? They were violated in 2014 by Russia. No one, not even our dear president, has said what the end point is in this. Is it back to those borders? Is it back to the borders before this recent escalation? But right now, you have these two tyrants, one of whom has been convicted supposedly of crimes before the International Criminal Court, and the other one has committed genocide against the Muslim majority in his country. And basically they're saying they're sanction proofing themselves and their economies, and they're ignoring all of the huff and puff of the West, and they're going about their business. And they're basically saying there's nothing you guys are going to be able to do about this. And it's not that I am chomping at the bit to fight either one of these big powers, but we have a White House that is sitting back like it's a color commentary. We're going to keep the channels of communication open. Having your phone available to be answered is not saying, what are you planning to do? Or what is the outcome you seek? You'd think after a year in, they'd have at least that.
And they don't. And I'm sure that some of the discussion is going to be strengthening their energy agreement that they have, because China gets a lot of Russian fuel. They get Russian gas. They get quite a bit of it.
I bet it's a good deal. China has a lot of material to provide Russia so that they don't have to try to engage in trades on markets where people have been trying to block them or attach penalties and sanctions to them. So, yes, you have this sort of parallel that is out there emerging of countries that are not interested in what the moral preening of our postmodern leaders are in Europe or the United States or Canada elsewhere. They're just doing what they're doing, and they're saying, You can't affect us. Hmm. We look at China. So President Biden says we want to keep the channels of communication open. But it's also keeping trade open, still keeping us dependent on all kinds of things coming from China. We haven't adjusted policy one bit since the Biden administration has come into office. They've threatened Taiwan. They've crushed Hong Kong. They've got this genocide in the Northwest. And now they're saying maybe we'll give some military material to Russia, which was supposed to be a red line.
Yeah, that was supposed to be a red line. That's a good reminder. Stephen Yates is joining us at YatesComs on Twitter, foreign policy expert. Correct me if I'm wrong on this. I read somewhere, and I was actually trying to find it, and I can't pull it up. It is more advantageous for China, for Russia to be involved in Ukraine. So why would they be why would they even want to broker any kind of peace agreement?
Well, I think first and foremost, Xi Jinping, people have to remember, has a third grade education. We're not dealing with a Phi Beta Kappa here. He's a pretty crude, rude, bully kind of guy. And he sees an opening. He can look like he's the power guy. He's the boss that comes in and says, brings the five families to the table because the baddest of the bad has shown up and everyone's got to come and talk. So he's going to try to play that routine of they're out there making peace. China's just all about making peace and prosperity out in the world. And it's the bad West that wants to declare these wars. And I wish some of our people in our politics wouldn't feed that notion, right. But that's what they're trying to play. And why would they want to do that? Well, when time comes, when they want to say hit Taiwan or hit Japan or hit us, they'll have all of this B-roll out there where it'll be harder to say, well, these guys are warmongers and bad and all that. They would have made deals in the Middle East. They would have made deals with Russia. They would have made deals with a lot of the global South, as we call it, Latin America and Africa. That's a lot of votes in the UN to the extent anyone pays attention to that anymore. But it helps with they're softening the international space when they want to do something truly bad to challenge us.
Yeah, and you mentioned, too, some of the politicians you wish they wouldn't feed that narrative. Ron DeSantis last week had said that the issue with Ukraine was it's really over a territorial dispute, which sparked an outcry of a certain amount of Republicans. Amongst them, I mean, they're kind of the ones you would expect, but amongst them, declared candidate Nikki Haley as well, who was arguing otherwise. I mean, if it's something more than a territorial dispute, then what is it?
Well, I think that's a fair question. Look, I'll say just because there seems to be an army of Twitter weirdos that want to just overanalyze everything someone says. But if I take at face value what Governor DeSantis said, and you want to disagree, then you actually are, as you were implying, on the hook to say, well, fill in the blank then. If it isn't a territorial dispute, what is it? I have very good friends that I love and respect that say this is a battle between good and evil. And so, well, that's a pretty big deal. I want to be for good. I'm not for evil. Right. But if it's all that, then why aren't we guns a-blazing, invading, and making it our war? I don't want that, but I didn't say it was good versus evil. And so all these people are out there morally preening about which way it goes. But the truth of the matter is, for me, as we've said many, many times, my threshold issue is this is not our fight if Europe is going to stay on the sidelines and underperform. It is a form of kind of solidifying welfare for a very overly educated, overly wealthy elite in Europe that wants to continue to do business with Russia and have Uncle Sam pay for everything. And so they've got the money, they've got the material, they should pick it up. If this is good versus evil, then why is Europe having a pass? If anything, our president and his representatives should be bending the ears of Europe to say, get in and do more. And if you don't, well, then you're going to have to deal with bad Vlad.
Who was it that was trying to make the analogy that we can't have a Churchillian, but a Chamberlain-like response? You mentioned Europe, and it got me to thinking of that. And I'm like, this is nowhere near what that was, because Europe was pretty involved with regards to Germany at that point. I mean, to say that this is, you know, that any denial or refusal to get involved or to characterize it as a territorial dispute is a Chamberlain-esque comment. I don't think that really works as a comparison.
Well, I also just have a deep allergy for this Europe first mindset.
Right.
I mean, good grief. I thought that the most of the liberal world was against the philosophies and the importance of the history of old white men. But I mean, if you really want to talk about where is this big threat coming from the world, what is really good versus evil, if you aren't stepping up to the China challenge, then I've got no time for you, because Russia can't put a glove on what China's already doing to us and others. So if you're this big, tough guy wanting to walk around and say, this is our fight and we're going to be just like these historic figures, then show me the money. What are you doing with this Asia challenge that's spreading all around the world? And if it's crickets and all you do is write cool articles about it, but you don't have any big ideas about what to do, then this Europe stuff, come on, you guys sort this stuff out. Step up if it's this big. I respect that sovereignty is at stake. I believe in that. I think our sovereignty matters. Yeah. But, you know, there's other parts of the world that are bigger and more important on this. Now, people can slam me for that, but I just think it's a simple business. You look at the world, we can only do so much. Here's a place that has a major threat coming from the Communist Party of China. If they want to team up with Russia, that's a big deal. But okay, Europe, then you should be doing more on your flank.
Exactly. And that leads right into my last question for you, talking with our friend Stephen Yates. Russia, no matter how it's presented by cable news or anybody else, I mean, this is a waning power. Their peak is gone. They have sunset. I mean, are they influential? To an extent. Do they have some power? Well, sure, in terms of energy and that, but even that's really kind of limited at this point. And I agree with you that China is the big threat. But is that why there's this insane focus on Russia? Because we just don't, and by we, I mean the administration and certain people in D.C., don't either want to because there's an absence of political will or an absence of really know-how with where to even start to deal with China.
Well, the China challenge is huge, and that is daunting. And the easiest thing in government to do is to just blather on about communication channels and meetings, because then you don't have to do any real work or take any real risk. And even weak powers, I mean, guys in caves in Nowhereville took down the towers in New York and hit the Pentagon. So, I mean, it's not to say that that a declining Russia can't hit us, can't hurt us. Of course they can. But that's why we should be investing in our military, be prepared to defend ourselves. But, you know, this, we can't stay prisoner to the old alliances in the old world and keep thinking that the old historical figures are going to define our times. We're going to have to adjust to what we see now. And the China challenge is big, but I think that they are also bought off. We have a ton of vested interests all around business, all around politics, all around government that are bought off on China. And so they're not going to say, hey, we should hit them. They're good with the Russia, 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 because this is the guy in the country we can demonize and it doesn't cost us.
Yeah, I lied. This is my last question. The Bidens. That's, I mean, they've made money with the CCP. How is that not a NATSEC issue?
Well, I mean, this is another one for someone who's lived a life like mine. I got raked over the coals at one point in my career just for having someone who was a reporter but wasn't really a reporter come to my family for the 4th of July, where my youngest uncle recited the Declaration of Independence to the face of my granddad's British cousins. And they thought that this embassy guy from China was cultivating me. I was a private citizen. I didn't know where he came from. They're raking me over for a guy that I was putting independence in his face. And so if I'd have taken money, if I'd have had multiple family members take money, if I was in office while my family was making money with that, all of these would be terminal offenses. And I have no way to even conceive of how this doesn't even raise the voice or the even intellectual curiosity of the media.
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. We'll see. Maybe this, you know, the Oversight Committee, maybe we'll find out who that fourth Biden is. I got some ideas. Maybe we'll see. Stephen
Yates.
That would
be awesome.
Oh, yeah. At YatesComs on Twitter. Always so good to see you. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Dana. Take care.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern time.
Make sure you sign up for Chapter and Verse over at Substack. Lots of good stuff that comes out at you on that. And I'm also going to keep an eye on all of this stuff going on with Alvin Bragg. And I just still think it is literally one of the dumbest arguments I've ever heard. I mean, if he's sitting here saying that, if Alvin Bragg's argument, and remember, he did not want to bring this. There's other stuff I didn't even hit at this. This guy is so damn corrupt. I mean, yes, backed by Soros, I mean, to the tune of millions of dollars. But he's also the guy that reduced penalty for how many different types of felonies? Like violent crimes even, too. Like reduced the penalty for this. Oh, but man. Somebody may have paid off their side piece before they ran for office. So I got to figure out an argument to make that somehow actionable. I mean, It's just good grief. It's frustrating because it creates a circus where there doesn't need to be a circus, because all of our eyes should be on a number of other issues right now instead of this. Like, you just had Joe Biden who vetoed the removing wokery, removing all the ESG stuff out of the banking system. And he tried to present it as, well, I was saving your retirement. ESG is going to cost people's retirement. Oh my gosh. So I don't know. It is, there's so many things to watch here. And it's frustrating because now, because of Alvin Bragg, we're not going to, all eyes are going to be elsewhere because of Alvin Bragg. It's still, it really is just one of the dumbest things I think that I've ever, anything could be an in-kind donation, right? Someone bought you a sandwich 10 years before, you could say that it, it benefited your campaign later because you used that sandwich for sustenance at some point. Benefited you. I mean, where do you draw the line? How far back can you do this? Isn't there statute of limitations on this? Also, the chick violated the NDA and she had to give everything back. At least he got his, got money back. I don't know. What are you over there making that face for? Kane's stroking his beard, making a face.
It's an NDA. She violated the NDA. Yeah. Story over. There's nothing illegal here on Trump's part.
They're trying to argue misdemeanor for some campaign thing, but I think that case has to be proved. But that's what the speculate. But you, do you do this for a misdemeanor? This is so stupid. You reduce the penalties for serious violent felonies, but this, oh my gosh, we're going to have so much more tomorrow because they're going to take me off here because the show's ending. Today in stupidity. For today.
Karine Jean-Pierre, this is what she says. I laugh because it's so not true.
Economic agenda is fueling an unprecedented clean energy manufacturing boom that is bringing energy costs down, reducing
what?
America's reliance on oil. And
I can. What? What?
Our energy costs are not down.
What? Does she use energy?
What the hell is she talking about?
I don't even know. Folks, that does it for us today. Make sure you sign up, chapter and verse. Find us on Facebook, YouTube, like, and subscribe. Have a great night. Good to be back. I'll be back tomorrow.